You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. It's official. The Grizzlies are back. The Grizzlies season started today with a preseason game against Maccabi Haifa. I don't even know that's how you say that correctly, but I think that's how you say it, and that's what I'm going to go with as we talk about this game today. It's amazing. Ja Morant played. Jaren Jackson played. It was awesome just to be able to be back at the Forum, be back watching Grizzlies basketball, as all of you, I'm sure, are aware of that as well. You got to see it as well as I did. If you didn't get to see it, we'll make sure you listen up, because we're going to talk about the game today, thoughts on everything that happened, a little bit about some post-game talking with a few players. In the last segment of the show, we'll do our first Monday mailbag of the season, so stay tuned for that. If you don't know what that is, if you're new to the show, Monday Mailbag is something that we do every single Monday throughout the entire season. So if you have questions, usually I put out a tweet at the beginning of the, usually on Saturday or Sunday of that weekend. That way you can reply directly to that tweet. But you can also DM me on at Locked On Grizz. My Twitter handle is at King_producer. So make sure you follow both of those accounts, because that's where I'll tweet it out at. And you can reply directly. You can DM me, or you can email me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com if you feel like that's an easier solution for you. Either way, just get your questions in every single weekend. And we'll do those every single Monday, usually in the last segment of the show. Every single week, and we'll talk about your questions and try to answer them as best I can. Usually I get through most of them. Sometimes I have too many. I can't do every single one of them, but usually I get through most of them. So make sure you stay tuned for that. So we'll do that in the last segment of this show. First two segments, we're going to talk about the Grizzlies game today, talk about what we saw out on the court, and really try to dive in. And I mean, this, again, there's not a lot you can take from a opponent like Maccabi Haifa. It's a team that's an international team that's not very good. It is a very, very much a mismatch of a competition for the Grizzlies versus this team. Once you get to the kind of the second quarter of this game, maybe even halftime, the game's really out of hand. And at that point, the guys on the other team are not really playing. The guys in the Grizzlies, you know, they run through a lot of players in the second half, so it becomes a real garbage fest in the third, fourth quarter of this game, in any of these games, really, for the preseason. But I think there are some things we can look at and think, some things we can point to that are notable, even in this little bit of time that we saw Ja Morant, so we saw Jaren Jackson, and the way things that Taylor Jenkins did for this game. I think there's some things we can take from that, even in this small sample size, and even with an opponent like Maccabi Haifa that's not necessarily as good as some of the other opponents they're going to play in preseason, some other NBA teams. So let's start with that. First off, I'm just going to go through all my notes in this game, and there's a lot of notes. I just kind of wrote them down as the game was happening, so I wouldn't forget to talk about them. Marko Guderic, he looked very nervous in this game. His shot is technically a very good looking shot. I mean, I've not really seen it before other than on TV, but Marko Guderic's shot is technically really, really good. Like, it looks good. There were some things early on in the game I thought that he did that. He looked just like he was nervous out there. It was a first NBA game for him. That's what it looked like. And so, technically speaking, I think he's got a good shot. There wasn't anything that he did out there that I thought warranted, like, oh, wow, I think that could really help the Grizzlies long-term. But, again, I think technically speaking, his shot is sound. I think if they get him the right spots, he can probably be effective. But that's still – he's kind of one of the guys up there that didn't think, you know, showed a lot. He was, I believe he was the eighth guy off the bench for the Grizzlies. So wasn't one of the first guys off the bench, but did play. And that's important for the Grizzlies to note. Bruno Caboclo, interestingly enough, Jonas Valanciunas didn't play in this game. Was listed as foot soreness. I believe this is just precautionary. Had a lot of minutes in international play and FIBA this summer. So this is purely precautionary, but Jonas Valanciunas did not play for the Grizzlies. That meant that put Brandon Clark in the starting lineup. Now, Bruno Caboclo was the first bench big that got up. He actually played majority of his time at the five, which was something that Was very interesting to see Amari Sankova from The Athletic ask Taylor Jenkins about this. I believe I have the answer on my Twitter feed if you want to see the actual video of it. But he asked Taylor Jenkins about Bruno, is that something that we can look for all the time? And the answer is no. The short answer is that that's not something they're going to try to do. I think this was something more, and even Taylor said that this is something more of Jonas being out. You have to put Brandon Clark in the starting lineup. That leaves a big hole kind of at a backup big. And for the Grizzlies, they chose Bruno Caboclo as the five, which for this game, it didn't really matter, to be honest with you. This game, it was such a mismatch of competition. I don't think it mattered, but I don't know if you can get away with that in the regular season of the NBA. I don't know if that's something they're going to be able to do against guys who are just so much bigger and so much stronger, and rebounding will become a very real problem if you're using Bruno Caboclo as your five. The idea of the first bench big being Bruno Caboclo, I think, is just a preseason thing, as Taylor pointed out to Jonas Valanciunas being hurt. Brandon Clark will likely be the first big off the bench, as he started today in front of Bruno. So you look to Brandon Clark to be the first big, but beyond that, there isn't a whole lot of bigs on the Grizzlies roster. It's a very small team. You have Miles Plumlee at the back of the roster. We'll talk about him in a minute, but he's not very good at basketball. And so this is a team that's going to be thin at bigs. And so it'll be interesting to see what they do with Bruno. I think he'll probably play obviously more four than five. But still, even Brandon Clark's not a big guy. He's not a guy that's going to be able to bruise down with other centers. Maybe you get him, you know, maybe some teams that have backup centers are a little bit smaller, maybe. But it's still not a guy that I don't think you can play extended minutes at the five. So that'll be interesting as we go forward in the preseason and even into the regular season, is what they do to shore up that bench big. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe they're just going to be bad and it doesn't matter, and that's fine too. So that's interesting to note. Dylan Brooks played the most of all the starters in the first quarter, played almost the 3-minute mark. But yeah, he looked great. He looked really, really good for the Grizzlies today. Something that I thought was really, really positive for him. He looked great. He looked like he picked up. He looked like he picked up from his rookie year, at the end of his rookie year. He looked like he was feeling it, was driving to the basket, you know, to a fault at some points. I thought that he drove the basket instead of passing, you know, making the open pass, was just trying to make plays. And that's something we saw, I think, in his rookie year as well, just out there trying to make plays for the team. But again, Dylan Brooks looked good. He looked like himself. He was shooting the ball, getting to the bucket, getting rebounds. He looked really, really good. And his stat line, and again, all these stats are obviously with a grain of salt. Everything was with a grain of salt because of competition. But Dylan Brooks ended up with 16 points and a couple rebounds, a couple assists. But yeah, he was extremely, extremely good for the Grizzlies and was the one that played the most out of the starters in that first quarter. Let's take a quick break. We will continue this conversation about the Grizzlies preseason game after the break. We'll talk about Ja Morant. We'll talk about Jaren Jackson and everything else that happened in this game today. And then again, in the last segment, we'll talk about our Monday mailbag and answer your questions for today's episode. Welcome back to the show. Again, talking preseason game for the Grizzlies. Talked a little bit about Dylan Brooks. The other person that really, really just I thought was amazing is Ja Morant. I mean, he's a guy that he is a star. Like he is a star. And I know that if you guys, whoever has listened to the show for quite some time, if you listen to the show I did right after Ja Morant got picked, and I was way too excited, but that excitement is still there. I mean, I know I've said to be patient with him and that he's going to take some time, but man, he looks good. Like he looks like he is a star point guard. And so I'm really excited about Ja Morant. The more I see him play, the more excited I get. Obviously, I still want to try to keep that in check and temper the expectations, but it's fun just to have a good time and watch Ja Morant. And just the idea of the excitement of Ja Morant, that's fun. And it's something that you guys should, myself and everybody else, should be fine with. Like, it's okay to be excited about Ja Morant. I think that's one of the best parts about the season. Will he have problems? Probably, sure. I mean, every rookie point guard does, but it's awesome to have that excitement. And Ja Morant looked great. He started off a little rocky. Like, he started off with little jitters, but that's to be expected with your first NBA game. But the longer the game went on, the more he got comfortable, the more he felt like he was in the groove of things. He was passing the ball really well. He was getting to driving lanes. The one thing I'll say about John Morant, which I think will happen a lot this year, happens a lot with rookie point guards, is he drove the ball without any real expectation of where he was, what he was going to do the ball with the ball when he got there. He drove into the lane and got deep into the lane, but then looked around and go and had two guys on him and went, oh my God, what are we going to do? Luckily, a lot of those times, Brandon Clark was just right there. Brandon Clark is amazing at just getting into those little spots and being everywhere. And John Morant found him a lot of times for his assists and really kind of bailed John Morant out. That's something I'll keep an eye on for John Morant, is something to driving, getting to the lane, because that's his biggest asset, is athleticism, getting into the bucket, getting into defenses and kicking it back out for outside shots. But knowing what you're going to do before you get there is something that you got to take into account. So there was a couple drives that he got down below the basket and didn't know what he was going to do once he got there. Luckily, he looked around and he found Brandon Clark, and Brandon Clark scored the basket. But most NBA defenses are not going to let you do that. They're going to smother you once you get underneath the basket. And so that's something to keep an eye on for John Morant. But beyond that, he looked like he got comfortable at every single time he was out there. Had a really, really smooth pass to Bruno Caboclo for a three at the end of the quarter. Like, had a really good sequence at the end of the – I believe that was the end of the first quarter. He had a couple assists. Again, had a really awesome pass for Bruno, who nailed a three at the buzzer. But, John Morant looked great. Jaren Jackson looked amazing. Jaren Jackson, the biggest thing I'll note about Jaren Jackson is his aggressiveness. Real quick before I move on, John Morant ended with 10 points and 7 assists and 3 rebounds. So 7 assists is huge for John Morant. It's what you want for him to do. And only 1 turnover. So that's a great assist-to-turnover ratio for the Grizzlies. I guess before we get to Jaren, let's talk about Tyus Jones while we're on point guards, because Tyus Jones also looks really good, really smooth, also had 7 assists. I mean, the Grizzlies might have one of the best passing backcourts in the NBA. Like, I know that's crazy to say, but, like, really, Tyus Jones and John Morant have such incredible court vision. I mean, it's something that it's hard to teach. I mean, being able to see the game open up the way they do is really impressive. I know I've been down on Tyus Jones on this show before. I know that I have questioned the idea of Tyus Jones versus Jalen Wright, and it was a legitimate question. But now that's over. Now all we have to do is take it, Tyus Jones, look at what he does and evaluate that. And today Tyus Jones is really good. Ran the offense extremely well. We didn't see Tyus Jones and John Morant play together. That's okay. We'll probably see that going forward. But again, Tyus Jones ran the offense extremely well, and he had 7 assists. Again, both those guys are so good at passing the ball, and they just see the court so well. That I thought that was something to really, really note, that they could have one of the best passing couple point guards in the league. It sounds crazy to say, but I think it's probably true. Jaren Jackson Jr. Looked really good. He 2 for 2 from 3 is one of the biggest things, and he stepped right into it. The biggest thing about Jaren Jackson Jr. that I noted all day was he was aggressive. He was aggressive in rebounding. He was aggressive in the offense. He was aggressive everywhere. I think he understands this is his team. This is what he needs to do to be able to win these games, to be able to be a good basketball player. But he was aggressive in rebounding, had 8 rebounds. He was getting in there. He was all over the floor. Knew that that was something that he's going to have to contribute to. But even more so, he was aggressive in the offense. He was looking for his shot. He was attacking people. He had a one-point sequence, had a block on one end, brought the ball all the way down the court and sized up a player and just take him to the basket. He did that a couple times. Like, Jaren just being aggressive, knowing he's the better player and taking it to the rack like that is something that I love to see. That is something that I think he cannot do enough of. Just knowing your mind, you're the better player, and just go at that person. That's something huge for Jaren. That was something that I thought was really important, that he was aggressive on all fronts, offensively especially, knowing that the points were out there for him to get. 19 points and 8 rebounds, as I noted. So that was really, really encouraging to see from Jaren Jackson Jr. Brandon Clark, like I mentioned, is a guy that just gets into spots. Like, he just gets into spots and just was really just – he's just kind of everywhere. And so I think that Brandon Clark coming off the bench would be really, really important for the Grizzlies team. You know, he looked a little overwhelmed sometimes, but I think that's something, like I mentioned with Ja Morant, a little overwhelmed in the beginning, but that's, you're going to get that with rookies. You're going to get that when you get into games like this, that you just kind of don't know what to do. But Brandon Clark is so good at rebounding. Like, he's a very, very good rebounder. And I just, he was kind of everywhere. Like I mentioned, everywhere Ja looked up, Brandon Clark was there to help him out, to get the pass, score a quick little basket there. Like, it was extremely important to see him just kind of all over the place. Again, grain of salt here, but that was really, really important for Brandon Clark to see. He's a very versatile player. Like, him rebounding the ball, taking up the court, passing it to Jaren scoring, like, all that super fun to watch for the Grizzlies. Some things I think you can take away from the Grizzlies as well is that Ivan Rabb, Mason, we have the Miles Plumlee. I keep forgetting what Plumlee we have, but Ivan Rabb, Plumlee did not get any time when the game was competitive. So I think that's something to note going forward. I know Miles Plumlee is got a bigger contract, but he is not good at basketball. Like, he is terrible. He is the only player out of all 11 or 12 players that played, whatever it is, that had a negative in his plus minus box score, -6, somehow in a 37 point win or whatever it is, 30 plus point blowout win, you can manage to have a negative in a plus minus. I know I don't really like to use plus minus, but that's hard to do. Like, it's hard to do to go in 8 minutes, go 1 for 3, 2 points and 2 rebounds. The only player that might have been worse maybe have been Yuta Watanabe. Yuta was probably better than Miles, but both were terrible. Miles is not good at basketball. So I think he's probably your prime candidate to get rid of. Now, how they get rid of him is a different story. If they trade that contract, I don't know. If they're able, I just find it hard to trade that contract. But I think he is a guy that is a prime candidate to be waived by the Grizzlies team. It's just not very good. Ivan Rabb as well, he did not get in the game when it mattered at all. And so your main players were off the bench were Bruno, Tyus, Grayson, Solomon Hill, and Marco Guderich. Those were your main guys. After that, that's all Taylor Jenkins played when it really mattered. So 10 guys there. The only other thing about this Grizzlies game today was Grayson Allen was really, really good. Like, really good. Grayson Allen was 4 for 5 or 4 for 6 from 3, 18 points. Some of those points came in garbage time. I think he had around like 12 or 13 when it actually they were playing and it mattered. But 7 for 10 from the field, again, 4 for 6 from 3 with the 3 assists. So, like, Grayson Allen just being open, like, the most encouraging thing I saw in that was a play where Tyus Jones got into the teeth of defense, knew exactly where Grayson Allen was, sucked the defenses on his drive to the basket, and just got the quick outlet pass to the corner three, and Grayson Allen hits a corner three, like, just super wide open, and just nails it. When Grayson was open today, he hit threes. And so I don't know if Grayson Allen is a thing, or a three-point kind of specialist wing for the Grizzlies is a thing, but that sure would be fun if it is. If you can get that Grayson Allen every game, that would be a lot of fun. And so, again, open mind with Grayson Allen. He's done some dumb things on the court. But could he play a potential role for the Grizzlies long term? That's something that I'll be curious to see how the season plays out. I did ask him about his – he actually played point guard tonight too because the Anthony Melton was hurt. So he played kind of the third string point guard. I asked him about if he was going to be able to take over John Morant's duties. He did not think it was possible. But Grayson Allen, again, is a guy that could be a consistent three-point shooter for the Grizzlies. He was the best one out there today. So I'll be curious to see how that moves along this next preseason games and even to the season. So let's take a quick break. We will be right back with our Monday mailbag segment and answer all your questions about the Grizzlies that you had today. Welcome back to the show. Our last segment of the show today, our Monday mailbag segment, something we do every single week. So if you haven't submitted your question for a Monday mailbag, make sure you do that on the weekends. Again, I usually tweet out a tweet with the reply to that, or hit me with a DM, any of those type of things. So make sure you follow me on Twitter at King_producer. You'll see them over there. Make sure you get in your questions. Usually on Sunday nights is usually when I record it. So Sunday afternoon is kind of the deadline. You can hit me with a DM on Twitter. You can reply to that tweet. You can email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. There are plenty of ways to ask the questions, so make sure you go and do that because there's no excuse not to. Let's start the questions off with this comes from on Twitter at Koldar Arg. I mean, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, but I tried. He has a two-part question. Who will lead the team in scoring as a first part, add two over under how many players who start the season will also end the season with the Grizzlies. Leading the team in scoring, I think, is pretty, I would say simple, but I think it's probably narrowed down to a couple players. And I think it will probably be Jaren Jackson Jr. or Ja Morant. I would lean more towards Jaren just because he knows what he's able to do against other players in this league, and he knows how to be effective. The only problem with having a big man leading you in scoring is that he depends on Ja to get him the ball in certain spots. So how that plays out will be the kind of my main concern there. But I think Jaren's your safe bet to lead the team in scoring just because he's been there before and he's really good at basketball. How many players will start the season to also end the season as the Grizzlies? I think most of these guys on the team will end the season with the Grizzlies. As we talked about, Jay Crowder is one guy that I think will probably Jay Crowder, Solomon Hill. Obviously, Matt Mooney won't make it out of training camp. Yuta Watanabe, may get waived because he's getting closer and closer to not being good at basketball. Andre Iguodala won't end the season. Team Josh Jackson has a good chance not to end the season with the team. But most of the guys will that we're seeing on this roster will be on this team next year. Now whether they stay on the team past that, it will be a different story because there's a lot of these guys have questions to be answered as far as their contracts are concerned. Obviously, Dylan Brooks is one. You know, there's just a lot of guys that have options, and so once they get to the off season, that will be a different story. But I think most of the guys that start the season will end the season. What possible lineup? This comes from Vince. Been a listener for a while. Submits questions all the time. Thank you, Vince. Vince on Twitter. What possible lineup are you looking forward to seeing the most this upcoming season? Well, the lineup I want to see the most starts with Jaren and Ja Morant. But Jaren, Ja Morant, Brandon Clark, Dylan Brooks, and that extra wing goes to be tough. But I really want to see how Grayson Allen plays with Ja Morant. And I think that will probably change my opinion as the next few preseason games go. But I'm interested in what Grayson Allen can do and what he can do with someone like Ja Morant. But, you know, there's someone, you know, Jay Crowder or Grayson Allen in that wing spot will be kind of the most interesting spot for me. But Brandon Clark, Jaren, Dylan, and Ja, that right there is kind of the future for this franchise. And so those guys playing together would be kind of the most interesting thing that I can see. Don't know if you'll get a lot of time with Brandon and Jaren together, depending on what they do with Jonas. But that will be interesting to see what those guys can do together, playing up and down the court and really moving the ball around and getting up and down very quickly and just kind of changing the pace and what we've seen in the past. Last question for today comes from VC43. What do you think of Clark's defense this game? I realize it's a preseason and the team overall has a ways to go before they truly gel on the court. I thought Brandon Clark was good. I really did. I thought Brandon Clark was an extremely good player, as I mentioned in the previous few segments. His defense, I thought it was really good, but again, there's a lot to left to be desired with this team, and so this Maccabi FI team. So, like, I think that's a question. The defensive liabilities is always a question that will be answered quicker in a NBA game that will be in this type of preseason game with a much more underwhelming opponent because they don't score like NBA teams do. So I think the defense is probably the way they play defense. Even this goes for Ja Morant too. The jury's probably still out on that. But for this game, I thought it was good. I thought he was a really good player. I thought overall for everybody, it was a really good game. And there's not a whole lot of negatives that I can take away from this game. But Brandon Clark, extremely good rebounder, extremely athletic person, extremely versatile, played really, really well in the pick and roll defense. So all that being said, that makes you really excited to see more Brandon Clark and what he can do for the team going forward. As always, if you're not already subscribed to Locked On Grizzlies, make sure you go and do that. Whatever podcast platform you do, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever you use, Apple iTunes, just go make sure you subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies so you don't miss an episode every single day. If you're in Apple iTunes, please go rate and review the show so it really helps our rankings over at iTunes. That would really help us. So go rate and review the show in Apple iTunes. Needless to say, just go subscribe to any Locked On Grizzlies platform that you choose so you don't miss any episodes. If you still don't know where to go after all that, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.